Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Hey, so good to be with you today. Hope you've been enjoying our series on divine friendships or friendology. My message this morning is going to be divine friendships. And I want to speak to you about a particular Bible character, but I'm also going to be referring to a couple of other passages as well. So bear with me. But what I want to ask you is, I want to start with a question. I want to ask you, what are you like when somebody comes over? You know, you have a guest or a friend come over to your house. They knock on the door. If they're unexpected, are you the kind of person that kind of goes into a bit of a panic, a bit of a flap? You know, you go around, you sort of think, oh, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to deal with this? You know, you go to the door and you're looking all kerfuffled and you're making excuses for why everything's untidy or not in place. Or if you are expecting visitors, maybe you're the kind of person that thinks, right, got to get the house in order, got to make sure that the duster's out, you know, getting all the cobwebs and the dust off everything, maybe looking under the settees to make sure that there's nothing under there that shouldn't be there, the vacuum comes out, and then you just breathe this breath of, ah, and then wait for the door to knock. I don't know what you're like. I know what I'm like, but you can have a little think about what you're like. But there is an account in the Bible of a man who had somebody come to his door. And it was the door of his tent. And the man that I'm speaking about is Abraham, found in the Old Testament. And the account is given in Genesis 18, where Abraham had some unexpected visitors. Now, these three men, they weren't just ordinary men. The Bible tells us that they were actually angels. Two of them were angels. One of them was actually thought to be a pre-incarnate visitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very often, Jesus would appear in that kind of human form before he actually came as the Christ. And many scholars actually agree on this. Now, the purpose of the visit of these men was actually to bring some good news and some bad news. Now, the good news was that Sarah, who was Abraham's wife, she would actually give birth to a child in her old age. But the bad news was God had actually seen the wickedness of what had been happening in two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And he had actually come to destroy those two cities because he wasn't pleased with what was going on there. It really was just an absolute, you know, stench to his nostrils, to use that phrase. Now, when the men were about to leave, and by the way, Abraham, the Bible tells us, showed them really, really good hospitality. He was the consummate host. He gave them meals, made sure they were looked after and tended for. But as they were about to leave, Abraham went with them to see them off. And then the Lord, okay, who was one of the men that was there, spoke with him, and he says these words. He says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" That's found in verse 17. Now you think to yourself, okay, somebody that wants to tell somebody about something before they do it, it shows something of a connection or a relationship to that person. And what we find is throughout the Bible, God actually says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, you know, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. So out of relationship and out of friendship with Abraham, God actually decides to share with Abraham his plan for Sodom and Gomorrah, that he was going to destroy them. Now there is actually three references in the Bible. I'm not going to mention them just for the sake of time, but Abraham is actually called on three occasions the friend of God. And one of those occasions, God actually says it of Abraham himself. Now Abraham knew that it was the Lord that was speaking to him and who was actually visiting him because he knew his nature. You see, this wasn't the first time that Abraham had actually met with God. So Abraham had trusted God before, and if he could trust him before, he could trust him right now. I want to make this point this morning that I believe that a right relationship with God is built on trust. It has to be built on trust. And we might ask the question, how important is trust in our friendships? I would say it's pretty important. But you know, a recent study came up with 10 traits of a good friend. And according to some relationship experts, here's what they came up with. And I'm going to read them out in reverse order. So at the top of the list, number 10, was a good friend doesn't reach out just when they need something. Then they said a good friend has your best interests in mind. They said a good friend is reciprocal, meaning it's a relationship of give and take. And Pastor Dan told us a little bit about that last week. They also said that a good friend shows up during the tough times as well as the good times. A good friend has similar interests, is emotionally available for you, makes you feel heard and acknowledged. A good friend actively listens. Come on, we all love a friend that is willing to listen. You see, they actually don't just speak, but they take the time to listen and act as a sounding board. They'll remain silent. A good friend accepts you as you are. A good friend helps you to feel comfortable around yourself and them. A good friend is supportive, helps us emotionally when we maybe feel a little bit out of sorts. And number one, top of the list, was a good friend is trustworthy. They allow us to be open, vulnerable, and completely ourselves. You see, a good friend, this I believe is the most important quality, is they tell us what we need to hear, even if it's not what we want to hear. A good friend can be trusted with personal information, things that are private to us, without fear of it ever becoming common knowledge to third parties. I love a quote by a man called Albert Hubbard, and he says this, "A friend is someone who knows all about you and still loves you." Now, what would you do if you knew that God was planning to visit your house today? Have a think about that. I believe that real friends are comfortable in each other's presence. They don't find any need for pretense. There's nothing fake and nothing to hide. Now, if we're to come to a place like that in our human relationships, one to another, how much more should we desire to have that kind of relationship with God, our Heavenly Father? Second point I'd like to make today is that a right relationship with God is evidenced by humility. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 22 to 25, when Abraham is with the Lord, he knew the character and nature of God, and he actually asked God, you know, God had threatened to, well, actually he hadn't made a threat, he said he was going to do it. He was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham, knowing God's character, actually asked him if he would be willing to spare the city if there were found to be righteous people living there. You see, there's something about Abraham almost like trying to remind God, well, look, God, if it's you, I know what your nature and your character is like. I don't think it'd be right for you to destroy everyone, killing the good people along with the bad people, or the righteous along with the unrighteous. He knew that that wasn't God's character. And you know what? Abraham has this dialogue with God, and it basically brings him down from 50 people right the way down to 10. And God says, look, if I even find 10 people in that town, or sorry, in that city, I will not destroy them. For the sake of 10, he says, I will not destroy it. And you know what? God was faithful to his word. You know, and the humility of Abraham was demonstrated in the fact that Abraham actually says, you know, God, I'm asking you this, even though I'm just like dust and ashes, you know, even though I'm just a mere mortal, you are Almighty God who knows everything, who sees everything, who is all powerful. But yet, me as a mere mortal, in relationship with you, I know that I can ask you these things, but I understand my place, my lowly position, and your exalted position. Well, God was faithful to his word, because we read in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 29, it says this, "So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived." God had remembered Abraham. God had shown his faithfulness. He rescued Lot, who was Abraham's nephew, brought them out to a safe place, but did what he said he would do and utterly destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis, and he says this: true humility is not thinking less about yourself, but thinking about yourself less. You see, I believe that true humility is us seeing ourselves as God sees us, being grateful for all that he has done for us, and it moves us then in some powerful way to do exactly the same for others. You see, humility isn't me thinking, oh, I'm no good, I can't do anything, I am useless. That's false humility. True humility understands who you are, recognizes your position, and recognizes that there is security in that position. I love what the Bible says. It says, God gives grace to the humble, yet opposes the proud. So here's the lesson here. When we humble ourselves, God actually gives more grace and exalts us, lifting us up. And that reflects on our relationship with him. My third point right now is that a right relationship with God is demonstrated in obedience. I love the passage in John chapter 15, and I'm just going to touch on verses 13 to 17. But this is what Jesus says. He says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love one another. I believe that, you know, when Jesus was teaching on this passage in John chapter 15, you know, he was wanting to show his disciples, those that would follow him, what that relationship with God was like and how they were supposed to stay connected to God. You see, because when we go back to verse 1 in John chapter 15, Jesus actually likened himself to a grapevine and his heavenly Father as a gardener. He was clear and said, every branch that isn't fruitful is cut off, but the branches that are fruitful are pruned to produce even more fruit. See, we can't actually bear fruit if we're severed from the vine, who is the source of the fruit. Remaining connected to Jesus is what makes us fruitful and allows us to bear more fruit. Jesus actually went as far as to say, apart from me, you can do nothing, meaning nothing of significance or of value. Fruitfulness is the evidence that we are the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as a result, it brings glory to God, our Heavenly Father. Let me say this today, there is no greater love than the love that is shown by Christ for us. But our friendship with God is conditional. Jesus said, if you love him and if you belong to him, you will do what he has commanded, meaning we will be obedient to him. Jesus delights to share everything that is shared by his Father with those who follow him, and his command to us is very, very simple: love each other. Don't just say it, do it. Demonstrate it. The Bible tells us that love is a fruit of God's Holy Spirit. You know, and the good thing is, it isn't something that we've got to try and work or muster up within ourselves, but it is the fruit of having God's Holy Spirit living within us. Galatians 5:22 and verse 23 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he says, against these things there is no law. So love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And think about this. Every time someone sees the fruit of God's Spirit displayed through us, they should know that it is the produce of heaven, not something we've just worked up. It is the produce of heaven, and it should taste absolutely delicious and out of this world. Let me ask you this today. Are you a friend of God? You've heard me speak about trusting God. You've heard me speak about humility. You've heard me speak about obedience. But the most important thing that I want to get across this morning is, are you a friend of God? If your answer to that question is yes, maybe we should ask ourselves, how can I deepen that relationship with God? How can I get to know him more? Are there any of my areas of my life that I am embarrassed by that I need to bring to him, expose them, and have him deal with them? And probably the biggie is, am I fruitful? If I'm connected to Jesus and to the Father, am I bearing fruit that brings the Father glory? Maybe you're saying this morning, I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm a friend of God. Well, the Bible is quite clear on this, that all have sinned and have fallen short of God's glorious standard of living. That means that each one of us have missed the mark in our own strength. The Bible is clear that every one of us is in need of knowing that our sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that sin has alienated us from God and that we are in desperate need of reconciliation to him. You might feel today that you're not alienated from God, or you might not even feel the slightest bit hostile to God, but that is not the issue. The issue is God hates sin and demands that it be dealt with. We are separated from God outside of Christ, and the Bible says this makes us God's enemies. Reconciliation, and this is the great news of the gospel, reconciliation has been made possible through faith in Jesus Christ, through trusting in the work of the cross, of his death and his resurrection that he did 2,000 years ago. See, the Bible says that he has made a way by himself for us to be reconciled to him and in order to become his friends. God loves you, but he loves you too much to leave you the way that you are. The Bible says we must confess that we have fallen short and turn from following our own ways. The Bible says of Abraham, let me just remind you, Genesis 15 and verse 6, that Abraham believed God and God credited him as righteousness. So God claimed that Abraham was in right standing with him because of his trust in him. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 says that we are made in the image of Christ, and it's by grace that we've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus himself says when he was having a conversation with a Pharisee, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So the Bible's quite clear on that. In order for us to come into right relationship with God, to become a friend of God, we must be born again. I love the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. If we don't sense any urgency in the message of the gospel, then listen to what this verse says. God says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. I want to tell you right now that there is no better time for you to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can surrender your life to him now as your savior, or one day you will have to surrender and bow your knee to him as the judge of all the earth. I heard a story, and you know how I mentioned about Abraham having a visit earlier on during this message? Well, I heard a story about Queen Victoria. And Queen Victoria, at the time when she reigned, she was quite well known for when she visited Balmoral Castle, she would very often go out for a walk, and she would visit the surrounding area just to stretch the legs, you know. And it's actually told that on one occasion, she was feeling a little bit thirsty, needed a little bit of refreshment. So she found some houses nearby and she went to the door of one of the houses. So she went up to the door, tapped on the door, no response. She waited patiently, maybe just for a few moments more, tapped again, still no response. She waited a little bit longer, tapped for a final time. This time, exactly the same, no response. She walked away and actually ended up going back towards the Balmoral Castle. Now, later that day, a neighbor across the road from the house that was visited said to the lady that lived there, "Oh, I see that you had a really important visitor today." The lady inquired, "Who was that?" She says, "The Queen was at your door. Did you not see her?" The lady was just absolutely gutted, because she knew she did hear the door chap, but she just thought, "I'm too busy. I haven't got time for this. I'm not expecting anyone. Therefore, I'm not going to go and answer it." And you know what? The story goes on to say that that lady patiently waited day after day after day, expecting that there might be another opportunity for the Queen to come to her door, chap, and then she would open the door and let her in. And you know what? It never happened. And you know what? That's a sad thing that can happen with us. God can patiently knock at the door of our hearts and of our lives, and yet we think, "Oh, I'm just too busy. I haven't got time for this. Ah, it's just religion." Well, you know what? Life and death is a very, very serious matter. And I believe that today, right now, God is giving you the opportunity to open the door of your life and to invite him in. I want to ask you, what will you do? Will you answer the door? Or will you just carry on doing business as normal because there might be another opportunity? Let's not leave it at that. I trust that what I've shared today will be a blessing to you. I pray that you would listen over to it again. But I want you to remember that God is patient with us, but he does want to be our friends. And I want you to pursue a relationship with God and become a friend with God, because that would be the best thing that you could do today. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Have an awesome day.